So it was a bit more than 10 years ago. It was probably 11 years ago. And I was found myself in what was a real trying time in my life personally. I wasn't sure necessarily what my next move was going to be or what my next steps were going to be. I wasn't sure what God was going to have me to do, particularly as it pertained to ministry. And so I found myself in August of 2006 on a mountain, believe it or not. I was completing my coursework for my Doctor of Ministry degree, and I was in a spiritual formation course that took us on a retreat at a place called Shrinemont, right at the base of Great North Mountain. And so as I was there, I really had gone to this place, believe it or not, to quit school. I just wasn't sure if this is any longer what God wanted me to do, and I was wrestling with what was going to happen. And it was there on that mountain that while I was saying, I'm done with this, I'm going to use my degree in finance and go find something else to do and just serve the Lord outside of vocational ministry, that God began talking to me about doing something that had never been on my radar before. God started talking to me about planting a church. Now, I need to tell you how funny that was to me, because my plan to that point had been that if I was ever going to be a senior leader in a church, that I actually was going to be the senior leader of an established church. And I believed to that point in my life truly that God had already established what church I was going to be the leader of. I was going to be the leader of this small congregation that's located on West Keast Boulevard in suburban Dallas, Texas. If none of you know what sits there, I was going to be the pastor of the Potter's House. Now, I know right now they have a pastor, but I just believe that God had Bishop Jakes there as a placeholder. And that something was going to, he was going to decide that he was doing well in writing books and doing movies. And I was going to get this call out of the blue because God placed my name on their hearts. Well, like I got jokes, God has jokes as well. And I need you to understand that initially, this was absolutely nothing I wanted to do. If I were honest, there are times now, 10 years in, where this is nothing that I want to do. But the thing that really was holding me back was fear. Now, I don't know if I'm the only person in here, but I can guess that I am not the only person in here who has had to, at some juncture in your life, wrestle with those two emotions that we just heard about in that video. Am I going to be a slave to, or am I going to be subject to the very things that are driving fear in my life, or am I going to be a person who, regardless of all the things that I am hearing and or feeling, I am going to be not only motivated by, but driven by love. Can I tell you this morning, as we talk about what we're going to talk about 10 years in, I'm hoping that it's not only an encouragement to myself as it remains each and every day, but that it's an encouragement to you about what God desires for all of us to do. Because if we are not careful, even at 10 years, we might find ourselves a church that becomes stagnant in what God has charged us to do because we are being held back because we are afraid. Now listen, after I decided that I would rather serve Jesus than serve man, after I decided that I'd rather be much more reverentially fearful of him than of what anybody else said, after I decided that I was going to do what God said for me to do, I need you to understand that I still had this thing going on in my stomach. Y'all know that thing I'm talking about.
When you decide that you're going to do something and you don't yet know how, I still had that thing going on in my stomach. And can I tell you, and I say this as affirmation to those who have that thing going on every now and again in your own stomach, sometimes the worst thing in the world to do is to tell somebody else. Because believe it or not, many of the things that I heard from people who I thought loved me and cared for me, many of the things that I heard from people who I thought had my back and would support me were the very things that were meant, if I had listened to them, to dissuade me. Well, now, Reverend, if you launch out into the deep and do that, how are you going to support your family? And when my response was, God will provide, the next question was, well, now, Doris, how you feel about that? If y'all know my wife, she said, and I'm going to give you the Griffin paraphrase, you heard what he said. We have to understand some things about ourselves and who we are charged to be. We have to understand that God desires that we not operate in anything that we're going to do as we are pushed by fear, but rather that as we are pushed by love. So I want to read some verses to you this morning, or read them in your hearing, and they'll show up there on the screen in just a moment. I want to read beginning at verse number 1, and I'm reading through verse number 10 in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Now, you need to understand that the book of Isaiah is actually broken up into two significant portions. There is the first half where you hear the judgment of God that is going to be upon these people because of their disobedience or their readiness to not follow what God has charged them to do, be, and become. And then in chapter number 40, you have what's called Deutero-Isaiah, where the prophet begins to speak life into these people and share with them that, listen, and I need you to hear this as believers in Jesus Christ this morning. He begins to say to him, listen, I know you're messed up. I know you have gone against what I have told you to do. I understand that every now and again you can be stiff-necked and hard-hearted. I understand that you have transgressed what I have charged you to do, and you are paying even now the penalty for those things. But what I need you to understand is, in spite of all you are, I still love you. In spite of what you've done, I still have a plan for you. In spite of all that I see that you have the propensity to still do, I still recognize that ultimately I have placed my image upon you, and that I can still use you. So here, beginning at verse number 1 in chapter number 41, are written these words. He's speaking to his people, and he says, listen to me in silence. O coastlands, let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach, then let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment. Who stirred up one from the east whom victory meets at every step? He gives up nations before him so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely by paths his feet have not trod. Who has performed and done this? Who, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Everyone helps his neighbor and says to his brother, be strong. The craftsman strengthens the goldsmith, and he who smooths with the hammer, him who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good, and they strengthen it with nails so it cannot be moved. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend. You whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Verse 10, he says to them, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God says to them then, and by extension to us now, remember. But more than that, when you are remembering as you go, these words ought not simply be spoken that you might look back and say to ourselves, I am so glad that God did that for them and that those words were able to keep them then. But these words ought be those that keep us now. And God is saying to us, be fearless. Now, I know that titling a sermon Fearless after talking about being afraid might sound like a crazy thing. But let me explain to you why I think it might sound crazy. It might sound crazy to you because we all know that fear is something that we deal with from time to time. And we believe that when we talk about being fearless, that we are actually talking about the absence of that feeling. The absence of fear. I need you to know here in the beginning so that we can move on and all be on the same page. That when I am talking about being fearless and when I read the text, I don't believe that God is talking about the absence of that feeling. But I believe that God is talking about not allowing that feeling to stop you. Not allowing that feeling to hinder you from moving on. I heard somebody say a long time ago, if you scared, go scared. But don't let fear stop you. So you need to understand that fear is not the absence of the trepidation that comes from the unknown. Because everybody in here, if you're like me and you go to an amusement park and you love those rides that go high and dip low real fast. Every one of us knows that the thrill is in the going up. But when you go up and you can't see track anymore, that's when all of a sudden you got that thing in the pit of your stomach. But you know something good finna happen right about then. And then when you go, I can feel it right now. When you go over the top, and wait a minute, let me stop. Okay. We might have some folk in here for the first time, so let me give you the rules of engagement. If I say something that you agree with, there's a simple response that I desire we all have and share, and that response is amen, right? Now, if I say something that you disagree with, oh well, but if I say something that you disagree with, if I might step on your toes a little bit, then I really do believe that in the same way, if somebody stepped on your toes in the natural, you would say, ouch. Now, every now and again, I can get on a good story, and I'm about to get there right now. And sometimes my stories go a bit long, and I forget where I was. And if that happens, then I need you to say, amen, all right? So if you're here for the first time, you understand that we participate in worship here at Harvest. So anyway, I don't know if you are like me, but I love thrill rides. And when I get on a roller coaster, my preferred seat is, there you go. I am a front seat rider. Not because I desire necessarily to be in front, but because I want to see what's coming. I don't want to be the one in the middle who everybody else starts screaming, and I just start screaming because something didn't happen.
Right? I want to be in front so that when my hands are up and I start, I can see. Okay, help him, Lord. Let me open with this statement and then we'll move expeditiously through our message this morning. We choose daily whether we will allow fear or love to motivate our lives. But let me leave you with this as an opening statement. God desires that we move fearlessly. So how do we move fearlessly? Because see, churches in particular, I believe, contrary, hear me, confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation, but good for the soul. Churches in particular have the propensity to move by fear rather than love. Let me say it again. Contrary to what men and women stand on a platform and proclaim, it is possible that we operate ministry out of a sense of fear rather than love. Watch. Lord, if I do that, folk might start leaving. But God, if I say that, giving might take a dip. Lord, if I address that sin that has become so visible in the midst of our congregation, but they are my best tithers. God, what will my clergy brethren think of me, Lord, if I am the only one who takes this as a platform and says, time out for all of those other things? So if we're not careful, even we talking about the church collective can find ourselves operating not because we love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength, desire to love our neighbor as ourselves, and that we would rather serve than to be served, but we would operate out of fear. So what is the word that we speak to ourselves 10 years in? What is the thing that I remind myself of personally when those feelings of being unsure about my next step? See, I shared with the congregation last night that God still has the same plan for us that he had in the beginning. That this is not supposed to be church like you've ever seen it before. That this is supposed to be something that is different. That this is supposed to engender a movement amongst the people of God to do differently, be differently, and desire differently about God. That this become not at all about us, but about those who don't yet know him. And because they see him in us, they desire to know the God we know. So how do we encourage ourselves? How can I remind myself about what God desires of me? That I would live fearlessly. I'm glad you asked. The first thing we need to understand is that we can be fearless because God is with us. Look at verse number 10 again. Verse number 10, Isaiah 41 chapter, 41st chapter, verse number 10. He says, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Now, this takes an understanding of who God is. Because there are some folk that if you tell me that, you know, you ain't got nothing to worry about, Griff, because June bug on the way. I'm like, man, he weigh like a 105. What is he going to do except get us both hurt when he show up? Because he got all that mouth and nothing to back it up. That's not what I have to worry about when I'm talking about who is backing me up and that person is the God of my salvation. You don't believe me? I don't have time, but I would encourage you to read verses 1 through 9 that I just read to you in Isaiah 41. Because God anticipated Israel saying the same thing. But God, who are you? So God starts off in verse number 1 by saying, who is it?
that does this, that, and the other thing? Who is it that's got a track record like this? Who is it that you can turn to and say that in their resume it says that they have accomplished this and that? Who is it? And then he says, I am he. And that same God to them in verse number 10 says, now, just in case you forgot, just in case you need something to bolster your understanding and your confidence in who it is who has your back, that's who it is. Now, fear not, for I am with you. So it doesn't matter what other folks say, check my record and ask yourself, is the mission that I am on, the mission that God has set me to do on his behalf? Lord, let me tell you, I would always rather be where God is than where God was. So the first thing we ought do as we are pressing toward what God has for us in the next 10, the first thing that you ought to do as you check to see what God has for you in your next season or in the season you're in the middle of now is look around and see, can you discern the presence of God? He said, think about this. He said, fear not, for I am with you. Can I give you the antithesis to that? If you don't see me, be scared. If you look around and you're in the middle of doing something that you say is for me and you don't see my hand anywhere in it, be scared. Start dropping what you're doing and saying, hold up, before we do anything else, God is not in this anywhere. Because the only reason I can live without fear, the only reason I can be fearless is because God is with me. And greater is the one who's standing with me than the multitude that might stand against me. Second, we can be fearless because we are chosen by God. Can I tell you, listen, real talk, I love people. I love people. I love children. Love children, all children. Love people, all people. But watch this. But there's something about the ones that belong to me that kicks that up a notch. In other words, if I see you doing something wrong to somebody that you ought not be doing, I'm going to speak up for that person. Why? Because I love people. You ought not be doing that. Now, you know you're wrong. Stop that. But if I see you doing something wrong to one of mine, right? Now you got a problem. Because you might get the elbow, then the articulation, you know. So I don't want to elbow my wife. Brother Michael, come. Now, for those of you who wonder why they laugh so hard, last night he had the microphone. And he wanted to remind me last night was his night with the microphone. And so he got to roast his pastor as much as he wanted because he had the microphone. And I had to remind him that I always get the microphone last. So, if you messed with one of mine, you might get something where I still want to get the message across that you are wrong. But because I have such an affinity to my wife, because I have such an affinity to my children, you might get, oh Lord, he's a little bigger than I thought. Okay, you go sit down. You go sit down. ML, come here. Come on. Amen. Amen. Listen, I might be a whole lot of things, but I ain't crazy. So two things. One, I know I outweigh him. And two, I'm his daddy, so I can push him around even if he don't want me to. So you might get the push, and then that you shouldn't do that. Okay, thank you, son. Amen. So look at Isaiah 41 and 10. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." He points out to them that I, and if I went back to verse number 9, you see in verse number 9 specifically, he says, "I have chosen you. You belong to me. So you have a place in my heart that is reserved for you." So you need to understand that as you go about doing my will as it pertains to all of creation, I am not about to let anything happen to you. Can I tell you, more often than not, we operate according to fear rather than love because we forget who it is we're talking about. 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago now, I told you to remember his words. To remind yourself of who Christ is and what he has encouraged about himself for all of us to remember. So that when I am confronted with the decision, am I going to allow what I perceive to be my lack of resources? Am I going to allow what I perceive to be my lack of access? Am I going to allow the naysayers who might be around me or those people who are coming up against me to dissuade me from continuing in the path that God set? I remind myself about who it is I'm serving and why he has specifically chosen me. Y'all, there's some of you in here who have had the same idea bubbling around in your head for a decade. Be honest. And you have spoken to this one, and they brought up this reason why you can't. And you prayed, and God said, "Do it." But then you went to this place, and they said, "I don't see it in you." And you went back to God and said, "God, they don't see it." And he says to you, "Fear not, for I am with you." And you go back again to someone else. And again, something happens that makes you question whether or not this is what you ought be doing. Stop it. I get to be fearless. I told y'all last year, I'm 50 and I'm free. I am 50. Can I take 51 better than 50? Because now the lesson I learned in that year, I get to actualize in this one. Don't be afraid. I am chosen by God. Don't be afraid. God is with me. Let me move quickly. Point number 3. And I love this in the verse. We can be fearless because we are strengthened by God. There's not a person in here who doesn't get weary. There's not a person in here who doesn't come to the end of their strength. There are seasons in every person's life and in the life of every organization where you wonder, can I go another step? Can I do anything else? Have I preached my last message? Has our outreach been in vain? But those are the times when, just as he says to them, we remind ourselves. He says, "I will strengthen you. I will help you." Can I tell you, the times that I have found myself most lacking what I needed to go on are the times when I have depended beyond my own capacity on my strength. The times when I have found myself getting to the end, and hear me, all I said is, you know what? I just need a vacation. I just need a day off. I just need to chop some stuff off my list. Rather than saying, you know what? I need to go back to my source and check with the one who chose me and check with the one who is with me. Hear me. This will help you out personally. What is the thing I'm supposed to be doing? Because most of us believe we ought to be doing 2 or 3 or 5 things, let's be honest. But what is the thing that I, beyond anything else, am uniquely gifted and equipped to do? And God, I need you to help me and strengthen me in that. Because if I can be known at the end of my days, let me make it more plain for us at 10 years. If we can be known at the end of our days for one thing, what will that one thing be? And when we discover it, we ought not be about anything else but that one thing. That's who we're known to be. I've shared with you, we're not the biggest church in New Castle County. We're not the wealthiest church in New Castle County. I'm not the best preacher in New Castle County. I'm not the best looking. In New Castle County. But what you'll never do is outlove us. What you'll never do is outheart us. What you'll never do is push us from the mark that we exist for one reason. We might not have the best stage show on Sunday morning, but we're going to push you to love God with all your heart. We're going to push you to make sure that you can't say you love God who you've never seen and hate your brother that you see every day. So if you say you love God, then you've got to love other people. Show me the evidence in your life that you are loving other people. There's not a church in New Castle County that can outdo us in that. And if you say you love God and you love other people, then you've got to get off your rusty dusty and not sit in the pew and serve other people. Now watch this. Watch this. Here's the difference. I don't care if you do it with a Harvest t-shirt on. I don't care if you do it under the auspices of an outreach ministry of Harvest Christian Fellowship. Because my charge has never been to build the biggest church. My charge has always been to make disciples, and disciples go. So what winds up happening is I need to know that when you are sitting in your cubicle next to whoever it is you're sitting next to, that you love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and that you can extend that love to the person sitting next to you, and you love them. And if they need what you got, because God, loving God and loving others means I will serve them. You will serve them with what you have. Watch. And if I don't, God strengthen me. God help me. See, when I know that God is with me, that he has chosen me, and that he will strengthen and help me, it doesn't matter what he asks me to do. I can walk fearlessly. Pastor, I need your help. Now, I could be the kind of person, you know, when people ask you, can I ask you for a favor? Or can I ask for your help? You can be one of those people who says, I don't know. Tell me what it is, right? If you tell me what it is, I'll tell you if you can ask for my help. That's fear rather than love. Why? Because I need to know what it is you're asking me for so that I can discern whether I have the capacity to meet your request. And capacity doesn't always mean I have the resources. Sometimes it means I don't want to give you what you're asking for, because you might ask me for the last half of my last Pop-Tart. And I don't want to give that to you. But if I'm living motivated by love, which is what we're called to do, rather than by fear, it doesn't matter what you ask me for. Because if I don't have it, let's walk together and see if we can't get it. And if it's my last and God knows I have need of it, then I have no need to hoard it to myself. Why? Because he shall supply. Last one, and I'm out your hair. We can be fearless because God upholds us. More importantly, God upholds his name. which means I'm not out here trying to give Griffin the best name. We're not out here so that everybody will know the name Harvest Christian Fellowship. Hear our mission statement as a church. We exist to glorify God. We could have stopped it there, but we go further because we have to articulate for anyone who reads it what we do to glorify God. But I need you to understand, we exist for 10 years and beyond to glorify God by making more disciples for Jesus Christ. And we define a disciple in our vision that we are a church who loves God, loves others, and serves the world. So we can be fearless because we understand that the mission we're on is God's mission. And so God is not simply upholding us, making sure that we don't falter for the sake of my name, for the sake of the name that is on a sign at the corner of our property, but that God is upholding his name. So that wherever we go, when we touch someone, it's God's name that is being glorified. It's God's work that is being done. And if anyone comes in to join us in his work, we make sure that we let them know that it's not our work we're doing, but we are doggedly determined that we are going to do what God has sent us to do, nothing more and nothing less. And watch God uphold that. So, it is our love of God that ultimately gets rid of fear. I love God so much, there's nothing I won't do for him. Watch, I believe I need to give you a very practical example. Get in your head something or someone you love and think about them in a situation where they need you. But in order to go and get them, you're going to have to go through some stuff. It doesn't matter. Without hesitation, without giving it a second thought, you will go through some stuff. I saw a meme on social media this week, and it was a meme of two cars sitting in an arid place. It was dry. And between the two cars were like a million spider webs filled with spiders. Last night we got home from the celebration and I had my window down and my wife said, don't forget to roll your window up. You don't want a spider in your car in the morning. You know how you feel about spiders. Basically, she was calling me a punk, but that's cool. I rolled that window up, I'm gonna tell you what I did. So you can imagine when I see this meme, imagine there's nothing but spider webs between these two pews and hundreds of spiders, arachnophobia style. And the meme said, your wife is on the other side of this. What do you do? So I looked at it, at first I laughed, because I was like, you picked the right one for this brother right here. But then I said, you know what? I started going through scenarios in my mind, so what I'm going to do, right, is I'm going to pull my shirt up over my face and have my undershirt, and then I'm just going to come through like this. Right? But can I tell you what I didn't say? I'm going to leave her on the other side without my help. It's the love of God in the same way that motivates me to be fearless. It's our love of God as a congregation that motivates us that no matter what stands between me, no matter what stands between us, no matter what stands between us and the mission that God has set us on, we will do it without fear because God loved me so much that the only thing I can do is to reciprocate that kind of love without even thinking. if my wife was on the other side of some spider webs, what? Spiders? I ain't scared of no spider. Nah, for real though, I'm not. If I see the spider first, I'm good. If the spider sneak up on me, because you know spiders will sneak up on you. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, you'll just be sitting down and you'll look up and there's a spider and that's when you get the reaction. But if I'm here and I see a spider there, I'm gonna go kill it. It's just the ones that sneak up on you. That's a good place for helping, Lord. Amen. I'm gonna leave you with this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. I want you to think about this. God's love toward us that ought also motivate us to love him enough that nothing can hinder us from doing what he's charged us to do. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 38 and reading through verse 39. For I am sure, think about this. For I am sure, think about those spider webs. For I am sure, think about what might be between you and what is it is that God has charged you to be. This is him talking about his love for us. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor depth nor anything else, hear me, in all creation. No man, no woman, no job, no day of the week. Nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The world is hungry. Hungry for what we have access to. And we can choose for the next 10 years to go about doing it our way, or we can say that there is nothing else in all creation that will stop us from being the Harvest Christian Fellowship that God called us to be. That I, as a ministry leader, am going to be fearless. That I am, as someone who volunteers in ministry, am going to be fearless. Hear me. Let me make it real plain. That I, as a person who simply comes every week, does the stuff I do, sits in a pew, and then hears the benediction, when I go out there, I'm going to share what I know. Stop believing that the only way anybody is ever going to come to know the Lord is that they come and sit in one of these four-walled buildings and listen to somebody pontificate from a platform for 20 minutes or so. For some of the folk you work with, you are the only Jesus they will ever see and the only Bible they will ever open. Will you let fear dissuade you from helping that person come to know the Lord? I'm going to say this and then I'm done. I heard a testimony this week that blew me away pleasantly. I was sharing, Pastor Doris and I, with some family members we have here at Harvest, and they were talking about children. And they were talking about, listen to this, and this is a testament to what you saw here, and in particular to the leadership that Brother Chris Hamilton has or does in our children and youth ministries, talked about their child being a real evangelist. We're talking about 5 years old, rolling up on folk talking about, do you know Jesus? You know, kind of Erica Campbell style. I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? Right? And so Pastor Doris and I are sitting there like, wow, we got some grown folk that ain't that bold. And you got five-year-olds running around because of what they heard in church. who are not afraid to go to their friends, hear me, and invite them to church. What the? We tell grown folk, invite them to church. They're like, is there going to be food? Inviting them to church and then sharing the gospel. What are we going to let get in our way? Who is on your list that needs to hear the love of God from your lips? They hate my voice. It's too screechy for them. But they know you. Will you? Do you love God enough to not be afraid? Let's stand on our feet. Y'all, 10 years is a big deal. I know people who are on their third iteration of a church plant in the same amount of time that we have been doing this. I don't count it a small thing. And for those who have been here since the beginning, and those, if you have at any time been a member of this fellowship, thank you. Thank you. For all of those voices who were here on this platform, thank you. I know some of you came up here this morning grudgingly, but when you stood on this platform,